Make no provision for the flesh. My dear family of God, the season of Advent is such a beautiful season of grace given to us to prepare our hearts towards the twofold coming of Christ. It is a season that prepares us, first and foremost, to commemorate his first coming at Christmas, when the eternal Word of God became flesh through the mystery of the Incarnation, as John reveals to us that, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 14. This season prepares us to celebrate his first coming. And as we prepare ourselves to celebrate in the newness his first coming, we are also at the same time being prepared towards his second coming, that he himself revealed to us that he will come again. Again, in the Acts of the Apostles, we are told that when Jesus ascended into heaven, his disciples stood up and looked into the sky. And at that, the angels tapped their shoulders, saying to them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here and look up into the sky? Thus Jesus, whom you have seen him ascend into heaven, would come in the same way as you have seen him go." And that was the promise of the Parousia, that Christ will come again, this time not as a sacrificial lamb, but coming as a judge. And so the season of Advent prepares our heart towards this twofold coming, as we read of the promise of his coming in the Acts of Apostles, chapter 1, verses 11. The Lord will surely come. And as he comes, he is no longer coming to die, but coming as a judge, holding each and every one of us accountable for the graces bestowed on us as we continue in this journey of our salvation. And so, beloved in Christ, the very first Sunday of this season of Advent invites all of us to be vigilant, to be watchful. Yes, it focuses our attention on vigilance, not as an anxious waiting for the coming of the Lord at the end of the world, but rather creating awareness to divine presence among us even now, so that acknowledging that God is with us, every minute of our time, every moment of our life will be a moment of preparation, receiving the Lord in our own lives. Beloved in Christ, our first reading taken from the prophecy of Isaiah gives us the vision of Jerusalem's glory. And this vision has its focal point on the Temple Mount. Yes, the temple that will be raised high and towered over all other heights would become a magnet attracting all the world back to the worship of God. This will be coincided with the peace of the world, when wars will be resolved by the Lord, and that war will be the thing of the past. No war implement shall be in the hand of the warriors, but everything shall be destroyed. Beloved in Christ, in the Holy Scriptures, mountains are viewed as places of contact between heaven and earth, and therefore become divine and human realms where God and man meet, becoming an ideal places of sanctuaries of worship. That the mountaintop meeting halfway heaven, we can engage God in worship. And so Isaiah uses this symbol to communicate the presence of divine in a meeting with human race, that the hearts of men and women will be turned away from evil deeds and turned toward God, when humanity would offer true worship to the Lord. And so Jerusalem would become a religious center. Out of her shall go forth the word of the Lord, and out of Mount Zion shall go forth the decree of the Lord, that human beings opening up to receive teachings from the Lord will be turned away from their evil deeds to embrace a life of righteousness, acknowledging the divine presence in their lives. Beloved in Christ, this reading is given to us at the beginning of the Advent season, that we may not forget ourselves, though we look forward towards the second coming of Christ. Christ forever abides with us, and we have the divine presence in our midst. And for us Catholic Christians, every day at Mass, this becomes a reality to us. When God descends from his heavenly realm through the consecration prayer, Lord, as it were, his mystery of incarnation taking place once again on the altar, that we can eat and be fed on his body and blood. So every day we are drawn to that presence of God among us. In this season of Advent, we are celebrating that presence in its newness as we give ourselves to a penitential rite to prepare our hearts and minds towards his second coming. Beloved in Christ, yes, soon we shall light the Advent wreath, our first candle, marking the 4-week celebration and preparing ourselves towards the Lord coming. As we see, we have 3 violet candles with 1 purple, inviting all of us that Advent season has a penitential character. It is a moment to turn into ourselves, to acknowledge our shortcomings, and asking God for his grace and mercy, we can prepare ourselves body enough to receive the Lord at his coming. As we go through this penitential rite, that sense of joy at the sight of Christ at the dawn of our salvation at Christmas is also being revealed to us. And that's why in the season of Advent, we still maintain the tone of hallelujah. Even though we go through a season of penitential rite, preparing ourselves towards the Lord's coming, we are invited to celebrate in the newness, the joy of our salvation. And so in the middle, we don't have the white candle yet. Always we have the 5th candle, which is the white, indicating to us that the season of Advent has 8 focal points at the mystery of the incarnation, where Christ, being born to us, would be the dawn of our salvation and will announce to us the joy of our salvation. And so every day when we light the Advent candle, we are calling upon the Lord to give us the grace that the darkness of sin and evil would be dispelled by the presence of his divine light, that our hearts will indeed be prepared towards the coming of the Lord. It is in this sense that the gospel reading invites us not to give our hearts to the pressures of the world, but be concerned of the things of the Lord. And so Jesus uses the time of Noah and the symbolism of the flood to teach a lesson to us. Yes, though God revealed to humanity the coming of the flood, to renew creation and to restore the human race to a life of righteousness. The human race at the time of Noah did not pay heed to God's word. Instead of being vigilant towards the coming of the flood, they gave themselves, as it were, to a kind of a loose life, drinking and eating, marrying and giving in marriage, not being concerned about the things of God. And so they were taken by surprise. The flood came at a time that they did not know, and all of them were swept away. Beloved, Jesus, using this episode, also pronounces the coming of the Lord at a time that we least expect as a moment of divine judgment, a moment of divine justice. So two men will be in the field working. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two men will be grinding on the mill. One will be taken, the other will be left. The Lord's coming will be a moment of judgment. Once the righteous will be saved, the wicked and those who are giving themselves to the desires and pressure of the world will be cast into eternal damnation. We as God's people, who are privileged every day to have the word of God being open to us, we cannot take chances, for that day will be a swift moment. The Lord will come to take his own into his eternal home. It is on this note that St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, also invites us to read the signs of the time. This is the time of our salvation, and we cannot delay. And since we cannot delay, we should make every moment of our life as a moment of preparation towards the coming of the Lord. And Paul tells us, make no provision for the desires of the flesh. Ours is not to go after the pleasures of the world, but to prepare our hearts as worthy enough towards the coming of the Lord. We pray in this Mass that the Lord himself, who has given us this season of grace, this season of repentance, though short, will give us every blessing we need to prepare ourselves worthy enough to celebrate in its newness the first coming of Christ in the mystery of the Incarnation, his eternal word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And that being prepared to celebrate in its newness this mystery, our hearts will also be prepared towards his second coming, a time at which each and every one of us will be held accountable for the graces and blessings bestowed upon us. May we all be found worthy at the Lord's coming, that being assumed into heaven in that triumphant sound, in the company of the angels and saints, all of us would appear in that eternal presence of God to celebrate in that unending joy that gift of salvation bestowed upon us. May the Lord bless us and give us every grace we need to prepare ourselves towards the coming of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.